Check out 4thandflex.com, where you can find our YouTube channel, become a subscriber, and you could win free prizes such as signed jerseys and anything in between. That's 4thandflex.com. Follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to your boys. Enjoy the show. Ole, 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 ole. It's the Replacements. Lights, camera, action. We are back. Welcome to 4th and Flicks, your sports movie review podcast. What's happening today, Trey?
Man, what's going on? What's going on? Another week, another great movie, man. I'm really having a lot of fun with this, and this is a good movie. I'd actually never seen it. We'll get into that. But, The Replacements, man.
Heck yeah, baby. The Replacements. This was my pick. As soon as we decided we were going to do some sports movie reviews, this is the first movie that popped in my head. I really want to do The Replacements, so I'm super excited about it. And if you don't know by now, the movie is The Replacements, directed by Howard Deutsch in the year 2000, box office was $50.1 million, a 41% on Rotten Tomatoes, starring Keanu Reeves, Gene Hackman, John Favreau, Orlando Jones, and there's a bunch of other guys in there, man, just almost too many to name. I figured I'd just hit a few of the good ones. Believe it or not, this movie is based on a true story, loosely, very loosely. The plot is based loosely on the NFL strike when teams hired scab players during the early portion of the 87 season. It was the Redskins too, the Washington Redskins too. So that's cool. They use Washington too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so let's get into the plot real quick of The Replacements, man. It's late in the season. The playoffs are fast approaching and the Washington Sentinels have just gone on strike. Scrambling for the solution, the Sentinels' owner, Edward O'Neill, hatches a plan to bring in legendary coach Jimmy McGuinty to recruit a team of replacement players in exactly 1 week. For fans and owners alike, the strike is a disaster, but for Shane Falco and a mismatched crew of outsiders, it is the second chance they've waited their whole lives for, Trey.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let's hop right into it, buddy. I'm excited. Let's go to an ode to remember on the first time you ever watched this movie, Trey.
Well, like I said earlier, this was the first time I ever watched it on this rewatch. I really enjoyed it. You know, I sat through it. I kind of felt like I had seen it before. But once I watched it, I was like, I definitely haven't. But it was great. Good comedy. I mean, I had a good time.
I like that. I'm glad you told me that you may have seen it before, but I'm glad that you hadn't. I'm glad you got to experience it for the first time, man.
I really thought I think I was mixing it with Hardball, to be honest with you.
Hardball, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one too. We got to get to that one too. So let me get to my ode to remember the first time I watched it. Honestly, I don't remember the first time I watched it. I know it was like on HBO. I didn't go to the movies and see it. I just remember seeing it on like HBO one day, dude. And I just fell in love with it, man. I fell in love with the characters. You know what I mean? Just so many different personalities in there. And, and I already love football. So, man, that was right up my alley.
No doubt. No doubt.
Let's get to your personal favorite scene of the movie. You said you got a good one for me. What is it?
Yeah, I think this is probably going to surprise you and a couple people out there, but my personal favorite scene of this movie was the cheer tryouts. Okay, when the girls are over there and they're trying out, and that one girl's like, if I gave you a dollar, you could keep most of the change because all I really want is a quarterback. And another girl come in with the California oranges, whatever, Texas.
Like, Cactus. I don't know. Something.
Yeah, Cactus, Texas.
Cactus, yeah.
It was just funny, man. I really like that whole scene. And then you got the girls coming up and they're like, I used to, she's like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. You know, you were in Cats. We really need a good dancer. She's like, no. I was in Pussycats, you know, the club next to the airport.
Right. Yeah. 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 That is a good scene, though. I like that, too. I love her reaction to it where she's just like got the clipboard. She can't even hold back the laughter. It was good. It was good, man. My personal favorite scene is it's when they are introducing all the guys. You know what I mean? Like they're like, who are we going to get on the team, man? And then he starts going through and showing everybody. And I just love that. I love that in any movie that I watch.
I was just about to say that that's kind of a a theme that's carried through a lot of movies where they go grab a bunch of people. And like, I mean, Fast and Furious, I think probably the most famous.
Sure.
And you know, Deadpool did it, you know, and they go out and they grab and they're like, this guy, and this is what he does.
And it shows them all their stuff.
Dumb shit. You know, and everybody laughs. Like, these guys.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I just love that. I kind of wish they'd have done a few more of them. Like, you know what I mean? Like maybe the deaf guy, cause he ended up being a bigger part of it than really, you know?
Yeah. And then the sumo guy, I don't think they did anything with him until he showed up with his belly.
He's like, look at this mama jamma. Yeah. That guy, you know, eating eggs and stuff before the movie or before the game. Crazy, man. Crazy. All right, let's get to the most iconic scene, man. What the most iconic scene you think from the movie Replacements is?
So normally I have a couple here, but I actually really narrowed it down to one specifically for me that was the most iconic because I already had kind of seen it before, and that's the sticky football touchdown.
Ah.
You know, the
–
you know, they do that in the NFL now when they get a touchdown. They're like, oh, I can't get this off my hand. Uh-huh. You know?
Yeah.
And so I thought that was pretty iconic. Obviously, it carried on.
No, I like that. Yeah, Clifford Franklin, man. Clifford Franklin don't mess around, you know?
Yeah, he's like a cold. If it's going up, he's catching it, and he's coming down with it.
Oh, Clifford Franklin, man. Orlando Jones, I love that guy. Yeah, I don't know what happened to him, man. But he did a lot of movies in the 2000s, but yeah. Let's see. The most iconic scene to me, I think, is when they're in the prison cell and they're dancing to the song. You know what I mean?
Like, I got that on here. I was going to talk about that when we get to the best song, but yeah.
I was going to talk about that too.
It's a great song and a great scene. You know, when he comes, first I was afraid.
He's
like, they're like talking about it. You're like, you weren't even in the fight. You were hiding behind a jukebox.
He's like,
hey,
I'll admit. Like, hey, I was afraid.
I was petrified.
Hey, you played it off good.
Yeah.
He kept it, you know?
Yeah.
He'd be hiding behind the jukebox. You were hiding behind the jukebox. I love that. Yeah. Definitely, I feel like that scene definitely sticks out to me, though, they're just square dancing in there. The deaf guy is like still going. He doesn't realize the coach is there.
Hey.
Yeah. I love it, man. I love it. Let's see here. What has aged the best from this movie, Trey? What has aged the best?
Well, I think one thing for sure, the same thing we talked about last week, and it's the underdog story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Another situation where the underdog kind of comes in and shows up and shows out.
Yeah.
And then also I've got that big guys can play linemen regardless of their background. Like, if you need a line, just find some big dudes, and you can teach them the plays, you know, but you put big dudes on the line, you know, like, they grabbed the dude from a sumo wrestling and taught him how to play football, and he was one of the best linemen they had.
Yeah, he was, dude. He's, like, pushing people around. He's like, did you lose weight? He's like, don't say that, coach. Yeah, buddy. How about teamwork? Teamwork has aged the best.
100%.
I mean, teamwork, I mean, no matter what, you know, working together is always going to be the best bet. Think of it like a job, you know, you throw a bunch of random people together. I mean, it can make, you know, it can be great either way. So,
yeah, no doubt.
And then I put a cast of mixed up characters thrown together to make a team. So,
it kind of reminds me of that rat race.
Yeah,
you rat race. I mean? Yeah, kind of like, you know, different backgrounds, different personalities, all coming together for one common goal.
Well, yeah. The movie you're talking about, the movie Rat Race, right? Well, kind of. They were kind of working against each other.
Well,
though.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
But like,
they bring them all together, and then they see how their personalities interact.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I love it. You got anything else that aged the best?
That's it.
How about what aged the worst then?
This was pretty easy for me. There was a lot of, you know, different jokes like, you know, thinking Japanese and Chinese are the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't act very well. Making fun of women and their driving. That was hilarious to me when they had the girl in the Jeep and she's swerving all over the place. I was like, I know they're calling that out to women's driving. You know what I mean?
Or maybe it's just a her thing. Maybe it wasn't just women's driving.
I think, he's over there like, she's just having a conversation. He's over there holding on for dear life.
Hey, but he took it very well, bro. He didn't say a word. He wasn't like, look out. He wasn't like, nothing,
so
bro.
Maybe that's age is the best. You know, if your girl can't drive very well, just hang tight.
Yes, sir. I got basically a lot of the same things. this is why girls don't play the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, when they said that, I was like, oh, that probably would go over that well today.
Exactly, exactly. Let's see here. A scene you could live without. This was so hard for me to pick a scene that I couldn't live without, because I would find a scene, I'd be like, well, they had to do that because they explained this and yada, yada, yada. You look like you got one, though.
Oh, this was the easiest for me. As soon as it happened, I was like, I could 100% live out without that scene.
What do you got?
The throw up scene where he's eating the eggs and everybody's throwing up and the deaf dude throws up on a shoe and they have to move the huddle because of the throw ups everywhere. To me, that didn't correlate to anything else in the show outside of the sumo dude eating eggs before the game. I just feel like they could have left that out. I don't do well with vomit.
Yeah.
And I really thought everybody on the field was going to start throwing up. And I was not excited about what I was walking into.
You know what? That's a good one, man. I wish I would have got that one. That one's smart. I got when Danny bashes through the banner, you know, when the other football players got the string.
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
bashes through the banner and just kind of flies out. And then he, but that scene I felt like I could have done without, just because like it felt like he like flew through the air. It felt a little cartoonish.
Yeah,
to
just
me.
A little bit. But that was kind of his character, you know. He was the most aggressive and first one to be there and go give me the ball. I got the ball. I got the ball, coach.
Yeah. But I did like, you know, at the end of that part when he like he's like tiptoeing through the cheerleaders and then at the camera he does like the Heisman.
I bet that wasn't scripted either.
I feel like that too.
That was just him. He was like, yeah.
I love that. I hope it wasn't scripted, man.
Right.
Hey, how about old John Favreau? Hey, he's on a streak here on our podcast. Yeah, two movies in a row.
And both movies did a great job, honestly.
He looked good in that one, dude.
Oh, yeah, he did. And he played the character well. You know what I
mean?
Oh,
yeah.
From, you know, being the – I like one of those scenes I liked where the – what's the guy, Jones?
Orlando Jones, yeah.
He's hitting at the Clifton table Franklin. with the prisoner. And he's like, you know what? Yeah, man, them cops, we can't even do nothing. And he's like, I'm a cop.
He's just, dude, just staring at him, bro. Just staring a hole in each other, dude.
I'm
love
gonna,
that.
I'm gonna get out of here.
He's like, the way I heard it, man, them cops, man, came up and messed with my boy, dude. He didn't do nothing.
I heard you killed a teacher, man.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Now let's move on to the replacement. Which actor could have done better? Now I'm going to start off by saying a lot of times this category for us doesn't go to the actor who did it better, but maybe somebody we'd like to have seen in the role kind of, you know, do it differently.
Yeah, man. And this was actually very interesting for me because I found this movie and this certain situation could be really replaced by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And in any scenario, you could fill in a lot of guys here. I've got Adam Sandler and Kevin James. Put Adam at quarterback, almost kind of like a longest yard situation.
I thought
okay?
that.
Okay. And Kevin James as one of the linemen, you know, if he's bigger, if he's not, he could have played the linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, and something along those lines, that scenario, even an Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn situation, Owen Wilson at QB, Vince Vaughn at wide receiver, you know, those funny guys hopping in.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd, I thought was a good one that could jump in.
Who's Paul Rudd going to be? I mean,
quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, Paul Falco. Rudd is the quarterback.
Yeah. I think he can play that role. Yeah. You know, he does really good at being the guy that has been shit on his whole life. That's like, he does a good job at playing that role.
He does.
And then I even threw Ashton Kutcher out there as the leg.
That is so funny, dude. I so many of those names I considered, like Ashton Kutcher. I thought, who could he play? Now, look, the leg, you're talking about the wiry guy, right?
I obviously prefer, I'm not saying Ashton Kutcher would be better in that role. Yeah. I'm just saying he could play the dumb guy that just comes out and plays well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he could do that. Okay, so mine here is going to go with the coach, okay? I love Gene Hackman. I think he did a great job being like a funny yet serious role, you know, and being like – just doing his job well as a coach. I really feel like he did a good job, but I thought it'd be interesting to see Robert De Niro as him.
Yeah. I actually like that a lot.
Yeah. Come on, Shane Falco. Come on.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. I think he would do good in that spot, you know, especially the scene where he's talking to the owner and he's like, you know, he's telling him to put the new, the old quarterback back in. And he's like, you told me, you made a promise. Like, I just feel like Robert De Niro would hit that scene really well.
Oh yeah, bro. Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I just feel
now. You're going back on your word.
You're a son of a bitch. Oh man, let's hell yeah. Let's go to our favorite actor in the movie, Trey. Do you think last week you were pretty sure you knew who I had as my favorite? You think you know?
I think I'm more sure who you have as your favorite. And I feel like yours has to be my candidate for, but not who I finaled on, and that's John Favreau as Daniel Bateman. Right?
That's not my guy, no.
Oh, wow. That's who I was expecting. Was your
guy. He was awesome. He did a great job, but no. I love him, and he was awesome, and he played the character well, but that is not my favorite one there.
My favorite was Reese Ifans as Nigel the Leg Gruff.
That's mine right there, baby. Yeah,
dude. I just love him, not only in this movie, but as an actor in every movie I've ever seen him in.
Same here.
The role that he plays, the jackassness of his characters so always good. Is so good. And like, I feel like he has a cigarette in every show he's in. Like, and I was talking to my wife about it, and I was like, I wonder if the whole cigarette thing, because I'm sure when you're in Hollywood and you're producing a movie, you know, you don't get a lot of cigarette breaks. But if he's an avid smoker, he's like, if I'm not smoking in the role, I'm not doing.
That's awesome. Yeah. And he's, you know, he's Welsh, and I'm sure he's done a lot of Welsh films, and I'm sure they don't care about cigarette smoking over there. You know what I mean? So that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's my guy too. How'd you say his name?
What did I say? Reese Ifans.
Man, that's good. You probably did better than I was going to do, man. So I'm glad you went first there. I mean, that sounds good. Nigel the Kicker. Let's play football, bitch.
I didn't love his character, man.
Dude, he was great. He was before I even watched the movie, I knew that was the answer to this question right there, dude, because that guy, man, was awesome. I love him, dude. Little Nicky in Little Nicky. Yeah. He was great.
100%.
And wasn't he in, like, Harry Potter too somewhere?
I don't think so.
He was in one of those big movies, man. He played somebody. I think he was in Harry Potter. I don't know. I have to look it up.
Either way, he's a great actor.
He's awesome. I love him, dude. I love him. All right, now let's get to the quote that lives on. I just did one of mine when I said, "Let's play football, bitch." That's one of mine for sure, man. I've got a bunch of them on here. This movie is very quotable. Yep. Hit me with one, Trey.
So I got several too. First of all, I got, you know what separates the losers from the winners? The score.
The score. The score. That's on mine too, baby. All right. Now I'm going to get you with the, like I said, I got a bunch of them, but I'm going to hit you with the best quote from this movie. The best quote. And I had this one before I even watched it. Pain heals.
Yep.
Chicks dig scars, but glory lasts forever, baby.
Yeah, I had that as the number one also on my list.
I was worried you were going to hit us with that one first.
Yeah, no, that's a great one, man. As soon as he said that, I was like, write that down. Pain heals, chicks dig scars, but glory lasts forever.
Woo! Tell him, Shane Falco. Tell him.
No doubt.
Let's see here. Number 16 in your programs, but number one in your hearts.
Yeah, I like that one. How about John Madden coming in with, I love to see a fat guy score. Why is that, John? Well, you get a fat guy spike and a fat guy dance.
Yeah. Heck yeah, bro.
Until this day, I love to see a big dude score. You know, get one of the linemen score. That's like the brings out the most joy in football for me is when a lineman scores a touchdown.
Yeah, because it don't happen much, man. And those guys, it never happens to them. So
you can just see the joy. You know, from one ear to the other, they can't help but hide it. You know, there's some of those guys that get a touchdown. They're like, yeah, whatever. It's another week. But a lineman gets a touchdown and they're like, we're eating steak for dinner.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, that dude ran forever, by the way, with that ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and held his own.
He was like,
jump on his back.
Yeah, they were jumping on him and stuff. You know, man, it's crazy. Like, it felt like they got just really lucky.
Oh yeah,
in like all those games, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, I mean, there was
a lot of luck involved.
Maybe the last one it was a lot of skill. I give them
maybe, but even the fake punt felt, you know, like how did he just take it and get all the way? I mean, when you think of, you know, a special teams lineup, you've got everybody on the front line. Uh-huh. There's nobody back, so he's that's why they fake pass on punt or field goals more than they run, because the line is stacked. Mm-hmm. So how did he step outside and get all the way to the end zone, even though he got called back for a holding play? I guess holding is how he did it.
Yep. You're right. You're right. Yeah, that was good. When he was running, dude, did you not think that first guy had him though?
Oh yeah, 100%.
I thought he was done right there. I was like, oh no. But I did see the flag fly before they called it.
I didn't. And I was like, oh, he got the touchdown. And they're like holding on the sumo wrestler. I'm glad they put that in there because that happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you're watching a big game, your team, boom, they come down, seconds left on the clock, they score a touchdown. You're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Holding on the offense. You're like, what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's painful, painful stuff. But any more quotes, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're not even a has been. You're a never was.
You're a never was.
Love that one, even though it's negative.
Martell.
And then the last one I got is winners always want the ball when the game's on the line.
I want the ball, coach. At the end, he's like, I want the ball.
That's because you're a winner. Or where he said winners always do.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. I'm surprised I don't have that one in here, actually, honestly. I remember thinking when I heard it that I need to put that one in there.
No doubt.
Good stuff, man. I love it. I love it. Let's see here. Well, you know what? We finally got a movie with a soundtrack. The last two movies we did didn't have a soundtrack, so we got one now with a soundtrack, Trey. So, best song from the movie.
I feel like it has to be that. I feel like there's no other options. There were some great songs, more than one, but this one specifically almost identified a lot of the movie, and it's I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor.
I'll admit, man. First, I was afraid. Shit, I was petrified, knowing that I could never live without you by my side. And I love the part when he's like, you know why I hate this dumbass song? Hell yeah, buddy. That's what I got too, man. Gloria Stefan, man. That's the one. Also, The Police, I've been watching you. The part where they're like at the bar, right? Mm-hmm. And he gives her a kiss on the cheek. And then he walks the door, right? Yeah. But then he starts slowly coming in. And then you get John Madden in the background. Falco's been shut down by this defense all day, John. Yeah. That was cool, bro. That was really well done. I love that part, dude. Love it. Falco scores. Yes, sir. All right. Does it deserve a sequel? The Replacements. A sequel? What you got for me? I know you got something good.
Yeah,
here.
You know this is like one of my favorite categories. Yeah, buddy. I get to imagine this whole storyline. Does it deserve a sequel? Probably not. In my opinion, I don't know. I mean, it definitely could have a sequel, but it's just one of those shows that's like, you know, like they did a Joe Dirt 2, and it's like, you should have just done Joe Dirt 1. you know what I mean? Situations like that where the first one was so good that the second one would ruin it.
That happens a lot, actually.
But if there was a sequel, I think that easily my idea for the sequel would be The Leg, okay, based around him being the main character.
Okay.
And somewhat of a kind of a dodgeball story, right? The movie Dodgeball, okay? So he's going to lose his pub again, right? Unless he comes up with a lot of money. So he starts finding, he finds this intramural soccer tournament, okay, with like $100,000 for grand prize. And he goes around getting these, you know, yahoos and tries to put together a soccer team of misfits athletes. So it's a soccer, you know, instead of football, and it's him just, you know, grabbing random guys that he knows.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and maybe even a cameo of one of the other guys coming in. Like, yeah. You know, I just think it'll be a cool little spinoff, kind of a Dodgeball Replacements kind of mix up.
That sounds like a movie I've watched.
It
sounds like a movie.
And I just picture him, you know, in the full soccer get up, and he's obviously the best player on the team, and he's got to deal with these dumbasses, and he's like, get up off the ground, you wanker. You know?
Yeah, dude, I would love that, just to get more one-liners from that guy. Yeah, exactly. Dude, it would be great. So
throws a cigarette in the ref's eye, you know, kicks a goal.
And John Madden, dude, that's funny, John Madden. I think he's smoking on the field. And he's like, I think you're seeing things, John.
And then he pans the camera, and it's just a big cloud of smoke.
He's like, no, I've seen a cloud of smoke. okay, so my sequel idea for The Replacements is Falco gets contract as a backup, which would happen nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
Nowadays, if that happened, Falco would be getting a contract as a backup somewhere.
Oh, 100%.
Anyway, so he gets a contract as a backup quarterback in the NFL behind a bigger asshole than Martell. You know,
oh, yeah, okay.
bigger asshole than that guy, right?
Bigger, badder asshole.
And he's got to kind of like, you know, the team loves him. They hate that guy, but he's good. You know, I don't know. Just something crazy happens. He ends up getting the starting job, you know.
Somebody like a Dave Bautista or something. You know what I'm saying?
Could play the guy?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. I like that. Yeah, for sure. I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I loved Keanu Reeves' character in that. He was just like this, like super, super shy, like
humble,
very, very humble. Like it didn't bother him. Like when they flipped his car, he's like, thanks. Beep, beep.
Yeah.
It only seen him get mad when they started picking on the deaf guy, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
That was like the only time he was like, no, forget that, bro.
Exactly.
Something's got to be done. Yeah. And then he's the one, he threw a punch at old dude. Uh-huh. let's see here, man. Make one real life player or team comparison. I've got a good one for this, Trey, but I'm going to let you tee us off here, man. I know you got
hopefully
a good
one. I don't take yours.
I don't think you will.
But at first, I was really thinking Joe Flacco, all right? coming off the couch to lead his team to the playoffs, sure. Right? Situation, you know, the dude's on his couch. He gets back. He's in the NFL. Kind of gives me Flacco, you know, I was getting that comparison. But then the more I watched it, the more I thought Flacco was a guy who was big in college. Everyone gave up on him after some mistakes, and he came back and showed he was the real deal. And who'd that make me think of? None other than Baker Mayfield.
That's good, man. I thought that. I literally thought that when I was thinking of something for this. But, you know, I don't know. You're right, though. It feels like it. Everybody, you know, I just feel like Baker at least was still there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but when Baker went to the Browns, you know, everybody gave up on him. They were like, yeah. He was this great guy, we thought, yeah. You know, and then he, like, won us a playoff game, but somehow still was, like, you know, they were done with him, you know. And so then he's, like, thrown to the wayside and bounced around a couple other teams. And then finally shows up on the Bucks and shines, you know. And people were like, oh, now they're not talking about his – nobody even mentions him as a Brown because he's already became a Buck.
You know, right, man. He's doing a great job at it, man. I hope this year's good, too. But I like it. I like it, man. I like it a lot. All right, so you didn't steal mine. I got one real-life player comparison. I feel like you're going to love this.
All right.
Clifford Franklin, Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
Now, think about it, bro. Like, he's fast, right? But he keeps making little mistakes, you know uh-huh. what I mean? That's Kadarius Toney all over.
And then acting, you know, and even in the interviews, you know, saying some crazy off-the-wall shit.
Exactly. Exactly, bro. Tell me that don't fit perfectly.
100%. 100%.
Man, it feels like we're picking on Kadarius Toney a lot on this show.
We do. We pick on a lot of players on this show. I mean, they're worth being picked on. But I do have one more that I just wanted to throw out there that this was like kind of, I was like, I need to mention this. And that is Edward O'Neill, the owner, okay, is Jerry Jones.
100%, dude. Oh, my God. Bro, where I feel like, how did I miss that? That's 100% right, dude.
Like, especially at the end, you know, when he told him to put in the other guy, and then Flacco comes anyway, he's all pissed off. He's like, what is he doing out there? Gets the W, and he's like, I knew that was going to happen. Yeah. I told you.
I knew you'd pull it off, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. I'm like, that has got Jerry Jones written all over it. And they were playing the Cowboys, you know? So yeah. I feel like there was some kind of, you know, innuendo insinuated there.
Yeah, no, that's great, bro. I didn't even put that together, but I love that. I love that. All right, now let's get to the Johnny Lawrence Award. Is the villain in this movie actually a villain, or do you think that, you know, he's warranted for feeling this way, man? Johnny Lawrence Award, we know who it goes to.
Yeah, so like you know, with this award, we always identify the villain. To me, the villain is Eddie Martell,
100%.
The starting quarterback. In a way, he's definitely the villain. But also, he just wanted fair wages, and instead of negotiating with the star of the team, they just replace him. Ugh. So I can understand his frustration a little bit. You know what I mean? Like say you're working at your job, okay, and you don't feel like you're making enough money. You've been there 5-6 years, okay? And then you ask for a raise, and they're like, nah, we're just going to bring in a guy off the street, pay him $5 less an hour than you. And he may not be as good, but there's a chance he will be, and we'll be all right without you.
Okay, but like destroying this guy's property.
Well, obviously it's a movie, so it's exaggerated, but I would definitely want to, you know, I don't know, yell at the dude.
He was a villain, though, bro. 100% a villain. Even when he got his job back, dude, he couldn't help but take a jab. I really feel like, you know, the worst thing they could do to you guys is, you know, give you hope. you know?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, he is a villain. All I'm saying is that, you know, all he wanted was fair wages. And the fair wages thing was a little outrageous when the dude was like, do you know how much insurance it costs for a Ferrari?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know, like, yeah.
Like, first world problem, son.
I mean, he was even a dick to the coach. You know what I mean? A dick to the coach, which I did not like, you know, at all. Like, he everybody hated that guy, you know. And apparently, which I didn't know, he had a thing for that cheerleader chick, too.
Yeah, that I think they just kind of threw that out there.
You know? Maybe it was a deleted scene or something. But like,
you know, like in a past life, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Or like, he just like, he didn't want that. He didn't want Falco to have nothing.
Well, you know, and there's that whole stigma of the starting quarterback and the head cheerleader, you know, sure, being a thing. So he replaced him in that role, you know.
Okay, yeah. Martell, the Johnny Lawrence Award has been given to you, sir. That guy did a great job, though, playing an asshole.
He definitely did.
He did that. All right, let's move on to a souvenir from the movie. Probably an easy one. What do you got for this one, buddy?
This was actually kind of hard for me.
Was it?
My first one is Falco's boat. I liked that boat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love the idea of having a boat on the water, living on it. You know, I think that's a cool idea. But for something that I could actually keep and have in my house, I want the trophy from the beginning of the movie.
Oh.
When he's under, you know, in the water and he's under the water doing the thing. I think that trophy would be cool because he's got his name on it. I'm guessing that's like from his college days that he got mad at and threw it over the, you know.
I just thought it was something he found down
there. No, it had Falco written on
it. Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I didn't catch that.
And when I first watched, I thought maybe it was his dad's trophy or something, but they didn't really say anything about his dad. Huh. So I'm thinking it was his trophy. And because he's gotten so much, you know, scrutiny over it or whatever, he just threw it off.
He got mad and threw it. Oh, I didn't even catch that. It said Falco on there. Crazy, man. Well, you know what? If we're talking about things we can get, like a boat, I want Martell's Porsche.
Yeah.
If we're talking
before or after it got shot out.
Before.
Yeah.
Before. I don't want a bill to go with it.
Right.
I just want a Shane Falco jersey, bro.
Yeah.
I want to hang it right over here somewhere, my friend.
16 on the field, but number one in your heart.
You're damn right, man. That's what I want, a Shane Falco red Washington jersey.
It's got to be red.
Yeah. I seen the white when they were doing the away team.
Yeah.
But it's got to be red
because of the practice, you know. And
Go
hit the guy in the red jersey, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you remember everything I told you about the red jersey? Forget about it.
I know. I just can't help it. I see that red. I want to charge like a bull. I love how he hits Falco for the first time. He's like, Danny Bateman. Just like
nice to meet you.
Yeah. That was great. It was great. Let's move on to Where Are They Now, Trey? Some of the actors, this movie's from the year 2000. Why don't you hit us with a little bit of knowledge on where they are now?
Yeah, I got a couple of different people here. Obviously, Keanu Reeves went on to make a lot of great movies. Mm-hmm. Most recently, John Wick 4.
Yeah.
In 2023, I mean, they're still carrying that legacy on, and you know, don't mess with the dude's dog, you know, obviously. But that's pretty much where he is, you know, still making movies, doing great things.
Yeah.
Brooke Langston, the girlfriend, I've got her. She was the head cheerleader. She hasn't done a whole lot, but she stars in quite a few TV shows. A couple to mention: Melrose Place, Life, The Net, which none of these I know.
Sure.
Which is why I say she hasn't done a whole lot. But obviously, she's got, I mean, she's like seasons and the main character on The Net. So, I mean, doing her thing.
Still, it says she's money. In Benchwarmers, too, I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says she was in Benchwarmers also, so.
And then Gene Hackman, who plays the coach, McGinty, he's 94 years old currently.
I looked that up, too. I couldn't believe how old Gene Hackman is, bro.
Yeah, he lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and occasionally steps outside for rare public appearances.
Is that right? He's 94, bro. He can't be like.
Born in 1930.
Holy crap, dude. It's amazing to me that there are human beings that are that are still alive, that are that old. I mean, he must have done something right. I mean, surely this guy smoked and drank. I just feel like.
I mean, he did it right. I'm 94 years old, living in New Mexico in the heat because, you know, when you're old, you start getting cold.
Yeah. He's in New Mexico, too. So that means he's got a nice little place out where nobody knows. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
where he can just rest his head. He's not hanging out in L.A. or New York or one of the bigger towns where they make the movies and stuff. So if he does get a role, which I don't know the last time I seen Gene Hackman in a movie.
Yeah, I saw that he was in a one like not that long ago, honestly.
Really?
I think it was like 2018 he did a movie as I think like a partial main character. It was like a he was an investigator or something like that, kind of like a country western situation.
Oh, that was back when he was young, like 84 or 89? No,
he did a lot of those, but this is like one of the 2018. I was joking. But he did do a lot of westerns back in the day.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Was he in Tombstone? He was in Tombstone, I think.
I think so.
Did you see the remake in Tombstone?
I did see that.
That's crazy.
I'm excited because that's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, that's a great one, bro. Yeah, I can't remember. Somebody's playing Doc Holliday, I thought was going to be really good.
I don't know if they can beat the Doc Holliday.
I mean, no, but I remember seeing it's being somebody that we know. You know what I mean? Somebody interesting. So
I've also got Reese Ifans. He's just completed films, the second series in House of the Dragon, the spinoff to Game of Thrones. He is the Hand of the King, Otto Hightower, which I've watched Game of Thrones, but I haven't watched House of the Dragon. That makes me want to watch House of the Dragon. It does, bro. It definitely does.
Yeah. Hey, and you know what? I just remembered what he is in Harry Potter. He's like Luna's dad or something like that.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, the spin.
Yeah, just popped in my head, bro.
Yeah, man. That's crazy because that's such a different character.
Oh, yeah. It's different. Definitely.
And then lastly, I've got Orlando Jones. Went on to star in one of my favorite movies of all time, Evolution.
Ah, that's a good one, yeah.
And he's still acting today. Obviously not in large roles, but he does have small parts here and there.
Did you see anything recent?
Nothing that was like that stood out to me. You know, it was just kind of like small little roles that didn't really have any.
It's crazy because in the 2000s, he started to pop off, man. Yeah, he did like Double Take with Eddie Griffin. He did Evolution. He did a lot of movies. He was on Mad TV. Yeah, exactly. No, he was on Mad TV too.
Yeah, he was on Mad TV between, I think, 2000, 2003. He left Mad TV to do more movies. Went back to Mad TV in 2007 and then left them again, I think, in 2011 over some drama between the producers.
I'm sure. They need to bring Mad TV back. I loved Mad TV.
Yeah, man.
I love Mad Magazine, too. Did you ever read Mad Magazine?
I did a couple times. Not like anything crazy.
Those were always so fun, dude. I loved Mad Magazine, man. Now, they still make those, though. I'm pretty sure.
I used to read those magazines. I can't even remember what they were called, but there was like a page in there. It was like a girly girl magazine, right? It was like teen something. And then like, you know, you'd have Justin Bieber and blah, blah, blah. But there was a page in every magazine. You could flip to the back and it would have a list of celebrity addresses, mailing addresses. And you could write them letters, you know? And so me and my cousin, we would rip that page out and we would just start writing letters to, you know, Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber and all these people. And
hey, what'd you write to Selena Gomez, bro?
I don't know. I was like, hey, I appreciate your role in Wizards of Waverly Place. You know, he probably did too.
He probably did. Was a super nice guy.
Hillary Duff was in there. You know, all the good ones.
that's awesome, man. Awesome. It's amazing to me that they would even have that.
Yeah, well, I guess they probably have like a fan mailing address.
Exactly. You know,
fan mail only.
Yeah. Did any of them ever write?
Put it out? No, definitely
never. No, never. Yeah. Selena, what's up, man? My boy wanted to holler at you when he was. I don't know what. How old were you? 14?
12, 13.
12. All right. I like it. So that's where they are now, ladies and gentlemen. That's where they are now. All right. Let's get to, is this the main actor's best role?
Yeah, this is a definitely not for me. I mean, Keanu Reeves is an amazing actor. And it's hard for me. I was trying to think what would be his peak performance, his best role. And to me, it's either The Matrix or John Wick. For money wise and everything like that. But my personal favorite Keanu Reeves movie is Constantine.
Oh, I know you said, is Keanu Reeves a great actor though?
I think he's pretty good, man. Is he? I mean, The Matrix, he plays a weird actor, right? In the movies that he does, but he plays that role well, in my opinion. Like John Wick. I mean, you know, I think he did a great job in that movie, just like, and he doesn't really come off as a badass, but like in that movie, they make him a badass and he plays it well.
He does. He does do that. Look, here's the thing, man. If you're talking about his best movie, it's got to be Speed, man. Cause I thought the same thing. If it's not his best, what is his best? And I think it's Speed, man. I love John Wick. The Matrix is great. But I gotta go Speed, man. I loved him in Bill and Ted. I'm not gonna put that up there, but I loved Bill and Ted, bro. I was down for that, you know.
I'm telling you, Constantine, bro. That was my jam.
I haven't seen Constantine in a while. I need to watch it
again. I go back and watch it every couple of years. That's a great rewatchable.
I need to watch it. It's been too long, man. The only problem with that is that Constantine is blonde, not, you know, okay. But they do that, I guess, yeah. But whatever, you know, it just bothers me the little details. You could have dyed his hair, bro. Why not? Maybe yeah. They tried. It didn't look right. I don't know.
Yeah. I think Keanu Reeves blonde would give me nightmares.
Yeah. It's definitely not something that probably would look that great. You're probably right.
It would give me like Ken from Barbie. You know what I mean?
Or Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
God, dude. Let's not get into that for me, please.
I'm kidding enough.
I did like this movie. I think it's probably in the top 15 of his movies for me. Yeah. For me, maybe top 15 is giving me too broad of a range. Top yeah. 10, I go yeah.
top
10.
You go top 10.
Yeah,
I probably go top 10 too.
Oh, okay. All right, I like that. I like that. All right, let's get to some movie secrets that you didn't know about The Replacements. My boy Trey has got us lined up for some good ones here. Movie secrets you didn't know.
Yeah, so the first one we kind of already talked about in the beginning about this being based loosely on a true story. Mm-hmm. On the 1987 replacement Washington Redskins, who won all three of their replacement games. Mm-hmm. The real Redskins returned for Week 7 through to the Super Bowl, which they also won.
Mm.
With the real guys, not the replacements. After winning the Super Bowl, The franchise rarely, if ever, gave the replacement players any credit, and they didn't get rings either.
Oh, they didn't get rings?
No, because they cut them from the team. They brought them in. They got them to the playoffs. They kicked them off, and then the team won.
Bro, that's jacked,
and they just rarely even talked about. So it's just
you're right. They should have given them rings. Dude, if it wasn't for them, something. They wouldn't have made it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's insane, bro. Insane.
Next, the reason everyone refers to Shane Falco's meltdown in the 1996 Sugar Bowl is because there was no 1996 Sugar Bowl. There was no game that year, and this made it easy to avoid having issues with a real player or team.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah, I like that. I got one for you, man.
Go ahead.
I got one. During filming, Keanu Reeves was offered a tryout with the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens would eventually go on to win the Super Bowl less than 6 months after this film's release.
Yeah, man, that's crazy to me. I mean, obviously he didn't get it, right?
Right. Well, maybe he didn't take it.
Yeah, well, that's you true, know? But do you think Keanu Reeves could play NFL professionally?
I don't know, bro. Do you think Gardner Minshew could?
Yes, I love Gardner Minshew.
But if you just looked at him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think Brock Purdy could make it to the Super Bowl, so I'll give you that.
Exactly. But. Exactly. That's a good one. I don't know. Minshew was just at the top of my head there. I don't know why. But maybe, bro. Obviously, they saw him doing something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This movie was filmed in Baltimore, by the way.
Yeah. It's based on D.C. and Washington, but it was filmed in Baltimore.
Right, exactly. But they must have seen. It makes me wonder if, like, he was really throwing those balls. Before I even read this, I was talking to my fiance, and I was saying, look, the balls that are being thrown are beautiful balls. Like, he's throwing them, like, really well. And, you know, I didn't know if it was him or not. I figured they brought somebody in.
Somebody behind him.
But maybe he was throwing them.
It's very possible.
Interesting. What else you got for us, buddy?
When the team raises their glasses to Shane at the bar, Cochran's champagne glass was full of milk, as he's a very religious man. And
yeah.
It's fair to assume he doesn't drink.
Huh. Interesting. That's a good little secret there. Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
With milk.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. Yeah, that's good. Number 16 in your programs, number one in your hots.
That was kind of a character that I felt like, you know, was just not really needed, honestly. Like, to me, like, they didn't do enough backstory on him, you know
yeah.
what I mean? And so he just kind of had a couple one-liners here and there. You know, it was funny whenever he was fighting and quoting scripture to the dude he was beating yeah. up. That was cool. But everything else, I was kind of like, eh.
He's like, these hands, this is not my fault, the Lord. I can't remember what he yeah. said, but it was great. It was
Ezekiel 41:7.
The path of the righteous man. Got to hit him with that. Any more, buddy? Any more?
That's it. That's all I got.
That's good stuff, though, man. I like the milk one. That one's good, man. Yeah. I didn't notice that. And I'm usually pretty good at noticing little things about movies that people don't really notice. Like, for instance, did you notice that when Falco first got to the field, he goes, wait, you still got it? And he's like, let's see. And then the Cochran guy, he mm-hmm. says, hey, hit me, Falco, right? And so he starts running, and Falco rears back. He throws it. But then it's Clifford Franklin who's going for the ball and runs into the back of the other player, dude.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I thought about that. And when I remember Crockett saying it, and then I was like, oh, I guess Clifford said it in the beginning, I didn't catch it or something.
Yeah.
And but that made sense that it would be Clifford because they talked about him being the fastest one out there. And it's and they said something at some point that this deep ball is always going to be, you're always going to have to catch up to this or whatever because he can throw such a deep ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought they were trying to do a shout out to that. And so it was weird they threw Cochran in there.
It was weird, but I was thinking like maybe you could explain it away with he's Falco overthrew him.
Right.
And so Franklin was like, I'll get it.
I can get it. Yeah.
But then that wouldn't look good on him because he's coming in. It's the first pass they see him throw and he overthrows the shit out of him. That wouldn't have made a lot of sense there. But that's just something I felt like it messed with me when it happened. I was like, what just happened? Good stuff. All right, buddy. What keeps you coming back to The Replacement? What keeps you coming back wanting to watch it again?
Well, I haven't had to come back and watch it again since this is the first time I watched it, but I can tell you what will make me go back and watch it again, and that's the endless laughs. I mean, this movie is hilarious.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I love it. I love it. It is. Endless laughs. I love it. I said the characters, the characters are what keeps me coming back. The cast just makes the movie for me, you know what I mean?
No doubt.
Just put together very well. You know, I read something that said that I said it at the beginning of the show, actually. The movie made $50.1 million at the box office, but the budget was $50 million. So it made $100,000 total from the budget. I don't know.
Not all movies even hit their, budget.
Right,
you know what I mean?
So. I guess
at least it paid for itself. And then, obviously that was just the box office. I'm sure they made more down the line.
Yeah.
They made some for me last night.
Yeah. Oh, Amazon primed it.
Yes, sir.
get them. All right, buddy. Let's get to the end here. Let's get to the flex score of this movie. 1 through 10 on a first time watching, Trey. What do you give it?
So again, I've got two here because it's hard for me to just rate it one. Rating it as a comedy movie,
okay,
I'm giving it a 7.2 out of 10.
Okay.
Rating it as a football movie, I'm giving it a 6.7.
Okay. I'll give you that just because, it was football, but it?
It was more comedy than football.
A lot of bumbling around and fumbling. There wasn't no, amazing things that happened.
Actual football happening.
Not a lot. Yeah. No, you're right. I'm going with a solid 8 out of 10.
I figured yours would be high on this one.
I just love this movie, man. It's just one of those ones that stick in my heart, buddy. I love The Replacements. It's a great movie. Shane Falco is the badassest name I've ever heard. I would love that. I'm going to name my children Shane Falco. Bandy.
Yeah. I mean, I like the name for sure. And don't you get Flacco, though? I really thought for a second, if they were trying to do something with that. But, I mean, I don't even know if Flacco was playing that time.
You know who won the Super Bowl for them 6 months after filming?
Who?
Joe Flacco.
Oh, for Baltimore?
Yeah.
See? I mean, they're like sitting around, they're like, what could this guy's name be? And they see Flacco out there practicing. They're like, what about that guy? And they're like, ooh, what about Falco?
Yeah, we'll just change it just
change
a little.
The letters up a little bit.
I don't like Joe either. Let's not. He's not just going to be some normal Joe. I got a little trivia question for you, Trey.
Okay.
What school did Shane Falco play for in the Sugar Bowl?
Ohio State?
Yeah. Good
job. Couldn't remember if he played for Ohio State or against Ohio State.
No, he played for Ohio State.
But I knew Ohio State was involved.
I like it, buddy. I like it, man. So you like the movie, right?
Yeah, man.
I'm glad I got to, put that in your life, buddy.
I appreciate it. Yeah, no, definitely it was a good movie. I enjoyed myself. And I'm kind of upset that there's so many great characters in the movie that we didn't even get to talk about them all, like the two brothers and, just a bunch of other people that we didn't really get to go into detail. The deaf guy, all that stuff.
Right. We didn't.
But if you don't know what we're talking about, definitely need to go watch The Replacements. Sorry for all the spoilers if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, maybe we ought to say that in the beginning. Spoilers, for sure. Great one, buddy. That was a fun show, man. I'm thinking about implementing a little more trivia into the end there, man. I think that'd be really fun. I come up with some questions. You answer them. Sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, man. And I will say, though, I think there should be some kind of statute of limitations on spoilers. You know, like, if the movie's been out for 10 years, you're just SOL. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. If you click the thumbnail and you haven't seen the movie, then, you know, that's on you. On you, buddy.
Oh, is this new?
Yeah. The Replacements. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff, buddy. Yeah. Any final thoughts for us, buddy?
Not for me, man. I'm ready to get on to the next one.
Yes, sir. The next one, man. We'll be posting it here very soon for the next sports movie review. I'm having so much fun doing these in the off season. It's been great. Guys, if you're watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe to Fourth and Flex. If you haven't done it already, I don't care where you're watching. If you see a like button, hit it for you boys. We'd really, really appreciate it. And thank you guys so much for watching. And we shall see thee on the next one.
Peace.
Let's go. I wake up to a little bit of drool on my pillow, feel like it's gonna be a bad day. Yeah, I'm tired of shit, and the coffee ain't hit yet, damn, ain't that great. I don't wanna go to work, cause my boss is a jerk, and I'm not even that paid. I need a change in my life, cause I don't feel alive, and there's nothing that makes me happy. Hold my beer for a minute. I'm about to quit my job, cash in for a ticket. I'm going on a trip and I don't plan to visit. I'm gonna stay there till I feel like I'm winning all. And this is just the beginning. I need a big change, help me feel like living. I need a big swing, home runs I'm hitting. And I'll never look back, moving on till I get it all.
Cut, print, that's a wrap.